now, let me see. Yes, what am I reading here? Return to the Surface for billion-dollar director James Cameron. This looks very boring. I don't know if anyone...
It must be.
Ah, my God. Paul Whittington is here. I'm just looking at his article today in the Weekender thing, the Weekend Review of the Independent. You're looking at James Cameron, yeah? Three more Avatar sequels, cementing his position as Hollywood's most bankable filmmaker.
Yeah, well, he is. But he's since Avatar came out, he's been diving down that, what you call it, Mariana Trench, or whatever you call it. And they were getting worried that the sequels kept getting pushed back for Avatar. But he's making three of them back-to-back,
right,
released. Yeah. In successive, yeah, Christmases, if you're ready for that.
Do you know my friend who lives in California, his brother lives there as well, and he's got a house, and just over the hill across the way is where James Cameron lives. I've been there. I've never actually seen James Cameron's place, because you can't see over the hill.
Yeah. A big place, I imagine.
I'd say it probably is. All right, yeah, I have no idea. Okay, Paul's not here to talk about James Cameron.
No.
You can read that in The Independent, but he is here to talk about what's on the big screen and the small screen for the weekend, if you're not a footy kind of person, and you should be.
If there's something the matter with you,
yeah, right, because there's two today, two tomorrow, two on Monday, and two on Tuesday.
Brazil
and Chile today. Yeah, absolutely. Come on, Chile, I say. But that's another one. In the very first match, like with all the Luis Suarez thing, in the very first match, I don't care what anybody says, who's the, what do you call him? The main Brazil scorer. I've suddenly forgotten his name. Quick, give it to me. Who's scoring all the goals?
Going blank.
Neymar. Anyway, Neymar spent about 3 seconds. Okay, that's a bit long. Maybe 2 seconds. Actually, looking as to what part of Modric's neck he was going to absolutely crease with his elbow.
Yeah,
he gets a yellow card.
Yeah, you can do that.
Your man does a little bit of a bite. You know, it's quick tetanus afterwards.
I feel sorry for him.
And he gets 3 months like banned until Halloween.
Has a compulsion or something, doesn't he?
Yeah. All right. Anyway, listen. There's nothing in the papers this morning except the bite. Let's have a look at the cinema. What's going on the big screen, Paul?
In the cinema, we should say, because it's Mrs. Brown's Boys, the movie is out.
Any good?
As we speak. I'm probably not the person to ask. I know he's on the other channel at the moment, so better be careful.
Yep.
But basically, this is it's filmed in Dublin, and it's an adaptation of the hugely successful sitcom. I mean, 13 million people at Christmas time in the UK.
Like. Fantastic,
And it is fantastic, all
it's
that
amazing
success.
Story. It's brilliant.
It is.
Fair play
it
to
is. And he spent so long working on it, and you've got to respect that. This is an adaptation of that. What they don't have is the kind of panto feel of the sitcom and the audience and you know, all that. They don't have that, and I think it suffers because of that. Personally, although I'm not an expert.
Are you saying the panto feel almost gives it a laugh track that's like real, as opposed to the movie that doesn't have a laugh track?
Well, what I think it misses is they couldn't do it in a movie,
the
intimacy of the girl. I think that's a special thing about it. In this film, in any case, Brendan O'Carroll plays Agnes Brown, the foul-mouthed, you know, inner-city matriarch. And she, basically the story is her Moore Street stall, and in fact Moore Street itself is under threat because this nasty developer, Boo Hiss.
And there's a lot of articles in the paper this morning about Moore Street, all about, and one of them about stall holders and all the rest. Yeah,
there is. I mean, anyway, their plan is to get rid of them all and build a shopping mall there, which would be odd because there's two big ones very near it. But never in any case, that's their plan. And but they didn't reckon on Mrs. Brown, who rallies the troops and so on. And I would imagine that a lot of people are going to go along and like it. I felt like I'd been transported back to an alternate 1970s in which there were successful Irish comedies other than Dave Allen, who were prepared to take on Benny Hill and Dick Emery and that. And it feels like that. And the winning thing about it is...
But you know what I love about all that? But the very
fact
that you say that, you know what I love about all that?
Yeah.
Like, I bemoaned the death of the half-hour sitcom on TV.
Yeah.
And everything is given away to this ridiculous thing called reality television.
Yeah.
And they have a thing called Factual now, if you don't mind, between about 7:30 and 9:00, where everything is done, like, if it's a farmer's programme, if it's a consumer program, it's all done real with a camera in your face of all the rest. And sometimes the idea of the old sitcom half-hour things, you know, I think it's great that they're back.
Yeah. This is, if you like Mrs. Brown, you'll probably like this. It's all the humour is based on kind of pratfalls and sort of, you know, remedial double entendres and that a child would understand, which is perhaps why children like it so much and older people like it so much, and maybe it's people in the middle who don't. But if you like it, you'll like it. I was baffled. It's probably me.
Really? Okay, I think it is you, yeah.
Yeah, I think it is too.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right, fair enough. Moving on from Mrs. Brown. What's the actual title? Is it called Mrs. Brown's Boys, the Movie?
Yes.
It's not just called the Movie.
No, it's called Mrs. Brown's Boys, the movie.
By the way, can I just say, we had a guest on the programme here last week because he happened to be walking by. I was reading a thing out of the paper about, stay with me for a second, about a Clash poster being sold of a gig in Trinity College for loads of money, a few grand. And it was obviously stolen from this guy who was walking past because he put on the gig, which is Ian Wilson, the famous Ian Wilson of me and fame of music. And Ian Wilson was the first person to commission or to bring on to 2FM a thing called Mrs. Brown's Boys.
You're joking.
He was the one who started on 2FM.
Yeah.
There you are.
Clever, Ian, yeah.
2FM de radio.
Yeah.
All right, so go on. That's that. It's now station. It's now all over the world. Okay, so what, anything else on the big screen?
Yeah, well, there's How to Train Your Dragon 2, which is one of the summer releases. It's a sequel. And it's
The first one. It was pretty good, actually.
It was. You take the animation for granted in these things, but the animation in that was stunning.
Startling.
And it's even better in this one. I saw it in an IMAX with the 3D specs and everything. And it's basically, it's for people who didn't see the first one, it's about this sort of Viking village.
I'm interrupting all the time.
Just keep interrupting.
I read a story this week in the paper about some bloke who bought 5,000 IMAX tickets for How to Train Your Dragon in China because he'd asked a girl out once who said no to go to the movies, and he's now a trillionaire or something. And he, please tell me I wasn't dreaming. Anyway, go on.
I don't know whether you were or not, but it sounds great.
I
want to believe
just
it.
To prove something.
I want it to be true. It's about, in any case, this village, Viking village, that suffered persistent dragon attacks until this young fella called Hiccup, who was kind of the village nerd.
That's the first movie.
Tamed one of them. I'm telling people who didn't see the first one.
Oh, I remember.
Background today.
Sorry, okay, all right,
so
okay, right.
In the second one, Bergs, they've all fallen in love with the dragons, and Hiccup's status has increased, but they face a threat from this very nasty dragon hunter. And it is, I mean, all the teenagers, as you know, because you saw the first one, they behave like California teenagers, but it's brilliantly animated, I must say. Like, it's extraordinary, and there's flying sequences and everything, and it's pretty amazing to look at.
All right, so it's not called How to Retrain Your Dragon or anything. It's How to Train Your Dragon.
How to Toilet Train Your Dragon.
How to Toilet Train Your Dragon.
And the other one, which is a smaller release, and I really liked it, even though it has problems, is called Cold in July.
Cold in July.
Yeah, and it's a crime story. Jim Mickles, the director, and it reminds you of all those 80s straight to video kind of low budget crime thrillers that were kind of good and
that
bad
sounds
at the
good
same
to me.
Time. Yeah. And it's Michael C. Hall from Dexter is this kind of, he's this 80s kind of everyman East Texan guy with a mullet, you know, mullet and the whole bit, and he's got a wife and a little kid, and this guy breaks into his house and he shoots him, but he kind of does it by accident. He has a gun because he's in Texas, so he has a gun.
Michael C. Hall shoots him.
Yes,
right.
And the trigger goes off by accident. He shoots him. He feels really bad about it, but everybody else thinks he's great because it's Texas. But then the victim's father turns up, and he is this very scary jailbird, and it all gets a bit Cape Fear for a minute. You know, he kind of starts threatening them. It's Sam Shepard who plays the father, Ben, and but then it goes through twists and turns. It turns into something else, and he forms a kind of alliance with the guy's father.
I know about this movie. Don Johnson was telling you, man.
Don Johnson is great.
He's in it. Yeah,
he's great.
Graham Norton.
He plays this kind of flashy Texas private detective who helps.
He was on Graham Norton with The Mammy.
He was,
there,
and nobody understood
that's
anybody.
A connection.
Nobody understood the
language.
No.
Because your man, the comedian, who's in the paper today, by the way, a full story of the Liverpool comedian.
John Bishop, thank you.
And by the way, there's a picture of John Bishop in the paper as a kid. It's brilliant. He's about six. He looks exactly the same.
The Nashers.
See, we knew he'd get Suarez into this thing too.
Don Johnson is in it, and it's a lot of fun. It starts to, if you examine it, it's one of those things you examine it and go back over. You go, hang on, who was the dead guy? Who was this? Who was that? Remember Raymond Chandler famously said, they rang him when they were making The Big Sleep and said, who killed you, man? And he said, I don't know. I never figured that out.
Right,
it's a bit like that, but it's great fun. And Shepard, nobody says nothing as well as Sam Shepard, and he does it really well in this. And Don Johnson's great in it. Don Johnson was always, I think, very good at comedy. It was always underused.
Actually, is this a comedy? Because
the clip
I saw was a bit comedic about
there's
putting a guy in a car
it.
And all
there's
the
there's funny bits in it, but it's pretty violent as well. It's pretty hardcore towards the end.
Right.
But it's really good. It's kind of like sort of trashy noir, and I really liked it.
All right, Cold in July is what it's called. Thumbs up for that. How to Train Your Dragon 2, definite thumbs up for that. And Mammy, thumbs up for that right across the world. Thumbs up, but not necessarily from you because you were baffled. Now, let's go on to the small screen. What's on?
Well, there's two releases that interest me this week, and one is Nonstop, which I think you saw as well.
Yeah.
I think Liam Neeson's he might be touching 60 now. He's 59 anyway.
Yeah.
And but he's reinvented himself since whatchamacallit, Taken, as an action hero, and he's really good at it. You believe
much to the chagrin of what do you call him, Steven Seagal.
Yes.
So what the hell is that? He doesn't know anything about the zen of beating people up.
Yeah, well, he seems to. In this film, which I kind of liked it, some people didn't like it. I thought it was grand, actually.
Yeah, one of my problems with it was just how it all resolved itself and who was the baddie and how the baddie was and whatever.
I'd be worried about that.
Well, I would. I want it to make sense. Like, he leans over somebody and what?
Yeah, I didn't care if it made sense. I thought it was grand. I know what you mean. It didn't quite make sense at the end, but I didn't care. Liam Neeson plays this, what's his name in it? Bill Marks or something. He's an air marshal, basically. Those kind of shadowy figures that appeared after 9/11 that we were just never supposed to see.
Yeah, they're not real passengers at all.
They're not real passengers.
They can flash a badge and kill you.
And Bill has a drink problem, and he's separated and from his wife and everything, and he's not happy, and he's half caught on the flight, basically, and then he gets a text from somebody saying he's going to kill a passenger every 15 minutes if he doesn't wire 200 million or something to the following. So
I think it's every 20 minutes. I think it is.
Sorry, Dave. I can't remember. You're probably right. I think you are right, actually.
That means less passengers will die.
Less passengers will die. And it's 150 million as well, so I got that wrong as well. Right. But anyway, so basically he has to figure out who it is. Is it a hoax? Is it not? But then, you know, it soon transpires it's not a hoax. And it's daft.
Yeah.
But he's really, he makes you take it seriously.
Ah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And he keeps churning out these films, and some of them are good, and he's really good at it. So
yeah, and Julianne Moore.
Good luck to him. Yeah, Julianne Moore adds a touch of gravitas to it. She's a fellow passenger. And it's good fun.
Okay, so it's what you would call a briskly enjoyable thriller.
Perfect.
Isn't that what they file it under?
I don't know why I'm here.
Okay, that's non-stop. Okay, what about
Stalingrad?
Stalingrad, yeah.
You saw all those lovely D-Day celebrations the other month, but that was the sideshow, as we all know. The Second World War was won and lost at Stalingrad.
So Hitler lost in Stalingrad is what you're saying?
He did.
Right.
And that battle, I think about...
Freezing cold.
A million men died in that during that 4 month battle. It's the greatest.
There have been movies in the past that have not been called Stalingrad, not even, but that have set themselves.
Yeah, there's that one about with Jude Law and about Zaitsev, the sniper. Yeah, which was kind of okay. This is it's made by a Russian, so it's triumphalist. Understandably, we can forgive them. That was their big moment. Fedor Bondarchuk directs it, and it's about. This
Fedor
group
of, Bondarchuk.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
It's about this group of Soviet reconnaissance troops that get bogged down behind the German lines, and basically that's it. They have to get out there. They're in a house. There's a couple of people left in it, and they befriend a couple of
them. And they're Soviet troops or something, are they?
And they're Soviet reconnaissance troops. Right. And you do what the film does reasonably well is you get this sense of the scale of it. What you don't get if you don't know anything about it, you don't know what's going on.
Oh, right.
They don't do that well at all, and I wouldn't assume that most modern Russians know that much more about it than we do either. It's hard to know what's going on, and it's very at times it's jingoistic. There's this group of Russian soldiers, and this petrol silo blows up, and some of them are on fire, but they still run rather than run towards the water to extinguish themselves. They run towards the Germans. So maybe a touch of poetic license there. They were heroic, but I mean, you know. There are limits.
Bit of a kamikaze.
So it's quite violent, but yes, it would be, and it's very there's that slow motion action stuff they do that some of the Russian directors like. It's a good action film, but it won't tell you much about Stalingrad.
Okay, so Stalingrad, thumbs sideways, or maybe thumbs down, and non stop with Liam Neeson, thumbs up.
Half a thumb up.
Half a thumb up. Okay, very good. All right. Okay, listen, and thank you very much indeed, Paul Whittington. And if you want to read, Dave, as they say about James Cameron and the return of, you can check it all out in the Indo today because you're in there on the weekend section. Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, Dave.